It's as good. Okay, we're holding an Amud Lamed Aleph over here.
Screen a little bit.
What? The screen, okay. Like this?
There you go.
Okay, let's say that. Okay, so we're holding here in Hay, Maima Hay, which is Begat Gan Eden Gehenem. Vihine, Huchnu Mekoimois La Neshamas Betseisim in a Guf. There are places for the Neshama when they leave the Guf. Echod Lo Nuach Boy, one to rest, Im Zoicha, Adzman Atchia. Ve'echad letzarev by be'oinshin im avoynes b'ashamaynes menucha, and another one is letzarev be'oinshin if there are affairs that don't allow for menucha. So let's stop at this a minute, and let's be medayek, because the Ramchal's lashaynes are meant to be precise. Somebody once asked Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, how much can be medayek a sefer, and he answered, it depends with the diuk that it was written with. In other words, you can read into a mechaber what he intended to put in. So somebody who did the gra, you know, every little stroke was an issue. He wasn't very elaborate. So you're medayik. Rashi is concise. You're medayik. A ritva is a lot more. You know, he's explaining himself, so you can't be medayik on the Chutas Sayer the way you'd be medayik on a Rashi. That's poshut. Ramchal is extremely, extremely concise, especially a sefer like this, which is really not much on Varam Chashuvim Moed. So let's read a few things. First of all, he said there's a makom for the neshama when it leaves the guf. Okay, what does that mean? It's like they need a hotel. He doesn't start by saying, well, there's Schar Neinish, and this is the beginning of Schar Neinish. It's not Schar Neinish, really. And he calls it being Mechen a Mokom for Neshama Tzeis V'Nakuf. There's a lashon in Chazal that Ein B'David Ba Ela Ad She'Yichalu Neshamas Min HaGuf. So the Guf, it says, is like a sort of a place where they have Neshamas. Let's understand the Nakuda here. There is no such thing as a Bria in the world that doesn't have a Mokom. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekomach HaOlam Vein HaOlam Mekomach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Mokom means a Hechetimtza for some sort of Kiyum. Things can only exist if there's a place for it to exist in. A Mokom precedes the world in the sense that if there's a chetimtza for something, then something could be chal. And if it's not, it doesn't exist. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the makom haneshama as the guf. That's what it says in the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a guf, and then he put a neshama into it. Neshamas are not beings that sort of, they float around. I guess if I need to put it in a sharper point, it needs to have a framework, a malach. Malachim don't exist as malachim. Each malach exists to fill in a certain slot. There's a need for refuah, there's a need for the malach in front of the kisa kavod, the back of the kisa kavod. There's the imin, there's the small. There's a place for each one, and then it fills it. If there wouldn't be, the place of the neshama, neshamas don't exist as such, as entities. There's a certain framework within which you exist. I'm not talking about a physical framework. I'm talking about a much deeper point of it. So just like malachim exist once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an hug of refuah, that's when refuah la-malach exists. And once there's a mahalach of a Gavriel HaMalach, of a Midas HaDin, now there's a Gavriel HaMalach, and so on, there is a Mokoyim for Neshama, and that's the Guf. Adrabah, the Guf is the Mokoyim for the Neshama, and that's where Neshama exists. Take the Guf away, that's one of the reasons why Neshama without a Guf is a Mazik, because its Mitzias is going to come on the Chesh from somebody else's Mitzias. And B'meila, it's like when somebody has an overstaffed company, it's not better, it's worse, because everyone has to fit into somewhere, and if two people are going to try for the same slot, it's counterproductive. So there is a makom. So neshama has a makom today in our guf. It has a makom lasid lovi, because lasid lovi in olam haba, that's the world of whether it's a neshama or a guf, like most rishonim hold, like the Rambam, that there's a special mitzvah for neshama in such a world. But in between, in order for neshama to have an existence, there has to be an olam haneshamas. It's not just a convenient place where to park the neshamas. Olam haneshamas is the place where a neshama can have an existence as its own entity without having a guf as its makom. Point one. It says, Echad lenuach bo im zocha zman atchia. One is to rest. I mean, okay, I assure you that, one gets very, very tired and one could use a vacation and we need to rest. But why is he pick in us for the Gehenim? He says, Letzarev bo ba'onshin. That I understand. That I understand is what it's there. But what does it mean, lenuachbo? Lenuachbo sounds like, we don't want to have neshamas running around the world, so we need a place, sort of where they should rest. Lenuachbo in the case over here means the when we speak of yom shekula shabbos umenucha lechayolamim, ad asher niach Hashem lekecha, menucha is something finding its right metzias, something finding its place. The Maral says that anything which is not in its final format is a misnoea. It's in flux, just like chemicals when they don't have. When they're, let's say, their outer shell is not full, so they're looking to interact with something else, and the less full it is, the more empty it is, the more volatile it will be, because it needs to fill up its outer shell. Once you fill up the outer shell, it just sits and does nothing, and all the elements that have full shells just sit and they don't do anything. They don't interact with anything else, because they're in a certain final state of shleimus. Menucha is the state of existence when something is in its metzias. So when something is sholem itzad atzmo and in its place, let's give an example. Let's take a very simple example, but we'll use it as an analogy. If somebody sees me packing my bags, someone will ask me, I see you going on a trip. There are two reasons why I would be going, why somebody would see me with my suitcases packed. One is that I'm missing something, so I'm looking to go to make business, to do X, Y, Z, whatever it is I need to do. Or the other way around, I'm looking to go home. I'm not my place. So when I'm lacking in shleimus or I don't have my makim, then I'm going to be betnua. Once something finds its place, then it comes, it means it's found its real metzias. Shabbos is, bo Shabbos, bo menucha means that the world has come to its vayichulu. It's come to its gemar. It's comes to its final metzias. The Mishnah talk about Shabbos means it has a metzias. A gemura. So menucha of the olam, the makom menucha is the metzias of the neshama as its beshlemus. Then masha'en kein a nefesh that's not beshlemus is not going to find menucha. It can't be menucha. Just like a person whose conscience bothers him. It's very interesting how Chachmas Umas HaOlam, who sometimes omit in going back long memory in Shakespeare, Lady Macbeth wandering around in the middle of the night because her conscience is not clear. A person whose conscience is not clear has no menucha. There's something in him that's not bishlemus, that's pogum, and it doesn't allow him to be content. It makes him restless. So he says, and therefore, ve'echod letzorev by ba'oinshim, in other words, averis are something that inherently destroy your equilibrium. One of the reasons, today we do have a good sense, we have a good sense of psychic illnesses and conditions, and one of the, I guess, axioms of it is as following. If you see somebody whose hanhaga and matzav ruach is not beyishuv adas, the person is not settled, doing crazy things, not spiraling out of control, it's because there's something inside that's pogum. The person has a very bad conscience about something he did, a bad feeling about something. If there's an internal problem, it doesn't allow for external menucha, because menucha is the expression of a person coming to a certain, you know, gemar, and so on. So he says, so b'meila, the person needs to go through the process of einshim in order to give him back menucha. So really, if you ask yourself, Olam Haba is menucha. Menucha means finding a person's mitzias shlema. And we'll see in a second the next phase of it. But the hechetimtza, the right word for it is the hechetimtza for being a ben Olam Haba is to be shayach to the world of menucha. And if there's something lacking in the person that doesn't give him menucha, and anything lacking the person will disrupt his menucha, he needs to be able to get it out of himself and through the process is einshim, and we'll see soon why. Vehine, mokum amnucha nikar gan eden. That place is called gan eden. Ve'yesh b'madrega shoynes. And there are different madregas in it. Ve'yesh gan eden tachten v'gan eden elyon. There's something called Gan Eden Tachten, Gan Eden Elyon. B'tachten yoshes haneshama b'demus hagufim shehoyubo. In tachten, the neshama sit in a similar guf like what they had here. V'nenesham b'mine hanos ruchnis. They have all sorts of hanos ruchnis. V'amokum muchel b'mine hanos ahen shehuchkulim tzesham. The place is ready for all the hanos that have been deemed as appropriate to put there. In the Gan Eden Elyon, Yoishes haneshama b'chinas neshamas mamish, v'nenes b'mine hanos ruchnias, g'dolos n'eskavos manosha b'tachtein. Let's hold it here a second. So, first of all, it does say in this form, there's Gan Eden Elyon, Gan Eden Tachten, that, you know, it's not, it's not his amtsa, but why in the world is it so important for him to give us that there's Gan Eden and Gan Eden Tachten? There's one paragraph devoted here to Gan Eden. So either you pull out the no stops and you bring everything that Arizal says and that the Zohar's Meramis and this and that and go through 9,900 different Doifanim and the Nahoris, everything that's written about it, or just say I would think that what would be appropriate here would be Vehine Mokam Nuchanik Gan Eden, Vehesh Vamadrega Shoinis, and that's it. And then Gehenim, for Gehenim he devotes, he doesn't go into how many different tsars there are, he doesn't make this big chilukim of I'm sure that this, the Gemara says there's seven layers, there's Sheol, and there's Tehoim, and there are a lot of difficult things in Gan Eden, in Gehenim, that you could also describe. And Gan Eden puts down plunk, there's Gan Eden, only Gan Eden Tachten. And we don't understand, he's not conveying in any way what do you have here, what do you have there. What's the point of it? Hadli Davahu. Let's understand a little bit what the teichin here is, because I think it's a very important teichin in terms of just getting the bigger picture of what Avodas Adam is. Let's go to the shayrus of the mashal. The shayrus of the inyan is a person needs to prepare himself in the world here so that he can come to the world to come as a sholem, and the menucha means he found a place in Gan Eden. He has a seat that fits him, and now he can sit back and be mekabel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tzura of shleimus of Adam is just like by Adam itself is zochen akeva, kaviyoch by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we be the tzur shleima, and b'meila we mekabel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'netzach netzachim. That is what is that? That's the full picture. So the menucha is the step one. Menucha means I have a chair that fits me in Gan Eden. I've shaped myself to fit a chair there. And now I can sit back and be a makabel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He needs to explain that there is many, many different dargas. It's not the pshat, well, I did good in this schar, and I'm shalom, there are dargas in schar, and that defines, I guess, the different maisim, why one mitzvah is a greater mitzvah. If everything would end up in Gan Eden is one place, what's the difference? But Ramchal is also giving us a key to understanding what determines the darga of Hana, and what is the difference? Let's try to be oimed a little bit on this point over here. The Rambam says in Shemoneh Prakim, other places in Mor Nevuchim, this is one of his most important points, and others far pick up on it. The reason why Lo Yirani Ha'adam V'Choy is because we are Baalei Guf. And since we're Baalei Guf, everything we understand and think gets absorbed through a combination of a Guf and a Neshama. So just like if I have a pot and a handle, if the pot can withstand the heat of what I put into it, but the handle can't, then it's not going to work. I'm never toifes things with pure seichel. My seichel is welded to my guf, and everything I understand has to come in through that shatness of a guf and shama. It means that things that are abstract, one of the reasons why we have an incredibly difficult time with theoretical math, and very, very few people like it, enjoy it, or can relate to it, is because it relates to nothing. Physics is tough, a lot of equations, but so maybe the complexity of the equations gets us annoyed. But the equation is talking about a chavtza. This moves, this jumps, this goes. It's not abstract, abstract, abstract. This is abstract, abstract, abstract. So we have a limitation on our understanding that it has to come through something that is very physical, and it's a combination of the two. That means that the way we are Baalei Guf, we can never ever understand things that are really purely ruchnius. Just like theoretical math to us, at best it's a game. There's nothing we can't inherit. We cannot have pure ruchnius, because nothing, our mind is not pure ruchnius. Our mind is a physical piece of flesh with a deeper koyach, and everything's gonna have to go through there. A child will inherit things through his childish world, and he can be very, very smart, but it's coming through a certain filter, and that's childish. when we talked about somebody who's balabatish in learning, it's somebody that needs to understand things in a very, very physical sense. I remember going back, I don't know, literally 45 years ago, when I was in the Mi'yeshiva in the first month I was there, we were in a Barry Finkel share. So they wanted to make more shurim, they wanted to expand this. Reb Nachum share was the main share, and Rabbi Finkel's was for the young bachrim. It was a chabur, it was a nice chabur. But as sort of to make it a special, like people should be happy, they had Reb Nachum set a chabur once a week for a Barry share. Friday mornings, that was the chabur. So he said a shir. I don't remember. It was about Metzia. The kasha that he put down was something along the lines of if the person will be goyva one seller connected the karka, he'll be able to be goyva the next seller if he's not goyva the karka. It was a cheshman around that type of lomdas. Whatever it was, his kasha was that the person could simply weasel his way out and each time be goyva connected that until he gets all the thing. So there was a chassidish bach there. Very, very balabatish boy. It was a vision to chassid, nice boy. But very balabatish, he's never been out of that frame. So he was like incensed and says, was heist, he says, mit gein in Beznaran. They're going to go to Bezdin. So I remember Elnochem took him like a minute to chap was the conversation. And then he laughed and he said, he sort of imitated, in a friendly way, in zukt mich, he says, eigentlich, was it Bezentin? Like, what's Bezen going to do about it? Like, don't you understand the problem is not that there's no, that you don't have guys to enforce it. The problem is that mitzad the lomdashev, boy, the person could be goyva constantly, even though he should only be goyva sells, something like that. I remember Reb Nochum had a name for Bochner of Al-Batish. He would call them, he's a practical bacher. I think actually that was the reason why they, I think the reason why yeshivas in Hungary, Bochum learned Chulin and Shabbos and Brochus, and it makes most sense. Those are the three mesechtes that are most relevant in Halacha. In yeshivas, they stayed away from that. And the reason was because they wanted to force the Bochum to think more abstractly, because in Shabbos, he'll keep thinking about the plot and the chant. The Halacha is a chetimtze for the Hilchas chant. He's not going to ever learn to see the Lomdas as a mitzias b'fnei atzmo. But actually, yeah. So if we're to ask ourselves the darga of Havan, the process in Gan Eden is when we talk about different dargas and moving, the movement is from a metzias that the Herz Ruchni is still within a framework that a person is used to something goes beyond that. Now, so the Gan Eden Atach, this is what he means over here. It says, Yeshua's Haneshamas b'dmus ha'gufim shahoyu b'hem. I don't mean if you're short or tall or blonde or black or whatever. It means the tzura, the person still occupies a tzura. And b'meila, his ability to be nene m'ziv ha'shchina, has those restrictions that any physical restrictions would make. That's the Metzius. The Gan Eden Elyon, it's pure Ruchnius. So if we ask ourselves in the Oilam Aschar or the Oilam of Gan Eden, what is exactly progress? Where are you coming from and going to? The answer is you're going from a world that's more, from a sense and a tefis that's more physical to something beyond. I want to talk about this a bit because this is something that really needs hamakim, because it's really in a sense the side of all these inyanim. Let's take another example. Let's go to something more fine. So we spoke about lomdas and we spoke about math. Let's take something that's obviously, despite the fact that we yeshiva light, we understand that Gan Eden and Olam Haba and Gehenim and Olam Haza are not only focused around Lomdus and Asugya. It's a bit of a bigger picture. For us, our natural matzev of hana, of ownership, is getting a chayfetz. So when a person gets a tchotchke, or a dollar in the bank, a tchotchke, a this or that, there's a certain tainug of having something, of possession. If we give away something, so we don't have the hana that we have a chesed. We comfort ourselves and say the Eibush is keeping track, and in Olam Haba he will give us something. We just don't have a tefisa that giving something is having something. It's a non-physical tefisa, and as a person grows and as a person becomes more ruchni, yes, he begins to say to himself, so what's the point? I have this shmanta, this shmanta, this shmanta. I don't have anything. What I have is what I did. It's a process for a person who's an oivid Hashem that develops it. Same thing kedusha. I mean, we have a very clear sense of physical tanugim. When we need to abstain from physical tainug, we comfort ourselves and say, I refrain from eating this, doing this, and the other thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows, and Kadosh Baruch Hu will give the eschar. That's mamish kahena v'kahena. But at the end of the day, to say that a person is misaneg in a ruch from pure ruchnis, the more pure ruchnis it is, the harder it is for us. And therefore, it's more being a ruchnistic person and being nene from olam ruchni versus being a physical plus person being nene from other things. So the progress, we need to move away from the being caught up with the physical self to moving forward. There's a fascinating Reb Sadia Goyen. In Emunas Vedeyas, he speaks about Chibut HaKeva. Is there such a thing as Chibut HaKeva or not? Chibut HaKeva means that the neshama suffers pain when it's being eaten up by the whatever's in the ground over there. So he says it's not a physical pain because you don't feel anything. You know, there's no physical pain. So what's chibur cave exactly? What's the eating? The Chazal speak about the rima and the terlas and the eating and this and that and the other thing. So he says the following. I'm using a mashal. I don't want to use a mashal fit, but it's the point that he makes. Imagine. I slept overnight. I was in a hotel for a week for vacation. Very nice hotel. Really liked it. It was very, very lovely. A month later, I'm reading a newspaper. The hotel burned down. So I say, Baruch Hashem, thank God I wasn't there. And that's about it. That's the extent of my feeling to it. Now, imagine I had a home I lived in for 35 years. And then it burned down. Nobody got hurt. The insurance doubled what it's worth. I had no loss in it, but I would feel a piece of me is gone. This is me, and I would find it very hard to come to grips with it. And it's one of the reasons why avelus sets in when a person loses somebody close. It's a piece of you, and that's the feeling. Now, let's reflect back at ourselves. If a person is very, very conscious of his looks, in other words, me is what I see in the mirror, and that's me, and that's the me that I deher. So when the neshama is watching the guf disintegrate, there's a long period of time when it feels that it's disappeared. It's sort of a sensing your own non-existence. I mean, people, as kids, everybody always dreams, he wishes he could become invisible. But you don't realize if you're invisible, you'd be a very special person. I mean, nobody looks at you, nobody cares for you, you don't occupy anything. To look at yourself and watch yourself turn invisible, so for a person who's kuli ruchni, And it's like Hillel said, it says Hillel said he saw Hillel going to the mikveh. He asked him, what are you, to the bathhouse? He says, what are you doing? He says, I'm going to do a chesed. What chesed? I'm washing my body. What's the pshat? How can you do a chesed to yourself? The answer is, if you perceive your guf as being like somebody else's guf, basically. You know, it's I could be washing the old man next door who doesn't have anywhere to bathe him. I'm doing something with my guf. If that's my honest feeling towards my guf, then it counts as chesed. But we don't have that. That's a chad bedoyris. So the darga of moving away and sort of pulling away from the nefesh and to enter the world of ruchnis is the process that happens. So even the person who reaches Gan Eden, but since we're not totally ruchnistic beings, we start by deherring everything from within a framework that was comfortable to us when we bali guf, until a person moves further and he goes to being beyond a guf.
Doesn't the Maharal yes. say that okay. Yaakov Avinu lay meis?
Yes.
Is because he did it. He had no connection to Gashmius, and
correct.
Is the tsar of that separation.
Correct.
That's no tsar of that separation.
Correct. Now, that's a chad. Yaakov Avinu lay meis is a the yochid. That's why it says Yaakov Avinu lay meis. The Ramban, Rabbi Mechaya, at the end of Vayechi speak about it, about Yaakov Avinu lay meis and Rabbi Nachkadosh Kamei Kiddush. When your chiyus in this world is not different than it'll be there, then what's the difference to you? And you could be as comfortable in this world. The reason why. Why a normal person doesn't like to come back to this world is because this world for him was not the best place. It's just like somebody that's had a very rough tkufa and he did terrible things and he was able to change his environment and become a good person, a better person, doesn't very much like to go back to the old place and remind himself of what was. So here also, for Yaakov Avinu, that's what he says, but you're right, Yaakov Avinu was the yachid. Okay, let's see one more line over here. V'yesham chiluv zmanim v'shinu itim lahanol shonos umeschalfos umadrega shonos lanenim b'hem. So he says there are different times, different activities. What does he want to say? Like, you know, you have first period and second period and third period at different times for different tanugim. What does he want to say with that? Let him just say, okay, it's a world full of, Hanad and Tainug. So it says in the Sfarim, it says that the Shinui Zmanim that we have, that the world has, knows the fact that there's a Musig of Zman and Shinui Zmanim, its Shoresh is the Shinui Hanhagis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, Zman is only Shayach if there is a changes. So when we talk about time, what we talk about time is, Lamassal, when Einstein theorized, and it's pretty much been established as well, that time goes differently for somebody traveling closer to the speed of light as opposed to someone not resting, and the closer you are to the speed of light, the more remarkably different it is. What it means is, what does it mean time goes quicker or slower? Time is the rate that there are changes. So the same spring will unwind at a different rate. The same atom will disintegrate at a different rate. Our cells will age at a different rate, and so on. In other words, any change in the world is the entity. Change is the entity that is time, or is affected by time. Time is change. So whether it's the sun moving, the earth moving, the clock unwinding, the atoms. Whatever it is, those are all changes in the Bria. The Betzem HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. Ani Hashem Lo Yishanisi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change, never changed. Correct. But when he made the world, what he did was, the world is different than HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sense that it has many pieces. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created different midas and anhagas. So that means the one became 10 anhagas. The neshamas, everybody's a chelkai memal, but everyone is a different aspect of it. And each makom in the world, behanchel elyon goyim, each makom has its own sar and its own hashpa. Everything became mechulik into different sections. One of those oifanei achiluk is man. So just like makom, I can put this uma here and this uma here and this sar over here and this sar over here. I can also have this tkufa. This day has this mazel, this day has this mazel, this time has a mazel, and so on. So what I can do is I can develop, I have different mahalchim, and one of the measures, different mahalchim, is the shin ismanim. So when we speak about, when we dav mayriv, and we say that the kashrus chokma shani itim machav zazmanim, those are the hanhagas. When kashrus made yoyim and laila, there was an haga of achlof zazmanim and shinu itim that is his hanhaga. So that hanhaga is so basic that even in olam haba in Gan Eden, we don't have the type of tfisa like Kaviyochla Kadosh Baruch Hu has, where everything is one. We still have different, we still have segmentation. Just like every person is different, every person has his own. Kol Echad Ve'Echad Nichve Michupatz Shechaver means that each person's metzias is different because at our Sheirish, each neshama is a different neshama. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashpa also works with Zmanim Lamala. And Bemela, there is Chilv Zmanim Shitim Lanosha and Zchalfez. Each Hashpa, just like in Ruchnius, we have the Hano Ruchnius of Chesed, the Hano Ruchnius of Dveikus, the Hano Ruchnius of Kedusha, and the Hano Ruchnius of Mishpat, Melech Mishpat Yamid Aretz, and so on. Each Hano has its own section and segment. So too in Gan Eden, there's no, it's not one, but it still exists that, because that's a very, very shorishtika hanhaga. We see each malach fits into a different area, so there's a musig of zmanim over there where different hanos and different hanugas come about. Okay, any questions, any points?
The Rambam, when he talks about Gehenim, he doesn't use the word Gehenim. Is there a
correct
reason?
The Rambam, Bechlal, the Rambam says there's one punishment that's called Karis, and the Ramban goes to town on it. Ramon Shapiro once said a pshat, and it's a very good pshat. He said, imagine a person, Rachman al-Aslan, loses an aver, loses a hand, a foot, whatever. So there's two tsar. There's a tsar that's very specific. If I need my left hand to do X, and I don't have a left hand, Chas v'Shalom, so I'm stuck. I'm missing something, and that's one area, one issue. The second issue is, I sense myself as a chasa, and that's a very bad feeling. The person senses his self as not being shalom and toiv, and that's a very rough feeling. So you said like this: any pagam that there is, the shirish of it is the sense that this is not mine. The sense that I had, just like a person who had money and he had a house and he had a car and he had this and he had that and he lost it all. So each piece that's missing, the car is repossessed, the house was foreclosed, and this is a tsar of a chasa. So Karis is sort of a description of every type of Einish. Now the einish is ultimately not the tsar that a specific tsar that sent on us. It's the tsar of lacking something that should have been part of us. Chorus, he said, the real chorus with the capital cuff chorus is, imagine your whole self is amputated. Imagine somebody's brain could be pickled, put in a jar, and the person senses his self as being without a body. In other words, at the end of it, the tsar is that you're missing a chelik of your metzias, and that's a form of chorus. So the Rambam is referring to much people won't say pshat. I think within this, that's the realm of pshat. It's a different chorus is the name of the game. It depending on where and what the chet is, it manifests itself differently. That's more or less the point we try to make.
Which sefer would it be, Ramesh Shapiro?
Ramesh, I heard it from him Baal Peh. That was his Hezbe Baal Peh. I know he. Maybe it's in one of his. I heard it. I've heard it over the years. I had heard it from over the years many times.
This is referring to though Netzach Netzachim, but even when
right.
even when a person dies and he goes
right,
Ayla, he still doesn't use the word Ganim. He just says Nidoin. If you have
right,
Nidoinim.
I don't know. I don't know why the Rambam doesn't use it, but it doesn't. And even though with a lot of Chazal, I guess these are all. I would assume in the Rambam's understanding, the Etzem Metzias of being Nidon. I once read from somebody, this person was a criminal lawyer, and he said, for the white-collar criminal who had been a very respected member of society, the real punishment is on the witness stand. In other words, when it's sitting in jail is already, it's not the sitting in jail, it's the fact is I went from being an Adam, trustworthy, chash of a person, to being a shmata. He says they crumble and that's it. For a hardened criminal, pshat is he doesn't have a sense of busha. So in the Rambam's godless hanefesh, being held accountable and responsible is Gehenim. You couldn't imagine worse than that. I guess that's the we have to use mishalim. It's like fire. It's like this. It's like that. The Rambam for somebody to hold me up to criticism and to find fault in me is ultimately what's wrong. That you know, I assume it's coming from there.
Because submission does use that lashon to say
yeah,
that the Rambam believes that there is a Gehenim of tsar, physical tsar.
But you're talking about a world different because submission was a makubal. The Rambam was there's a few hundred years between them. You're talking about a different world of musagim. I don't know. The Rambam's not there. I mean, Ramban goes to town on in Teres Adam. He argues in Rambam so, but that's okay. Good. Any other question? Anything else? Yeah, just a little louder.
When Kadosh Baruch Hu created Menucha on Shabbos,
yeah,
that means he created the feeling, the ability to feel shlemus and alamaza. Is that what was created?
Yeah, it's called Me'ein Olam Haba. It's a person is supposed to. I mean, even let's use a mashal ourselves. You know, there are many times we're stressed out. We have a lot of things going on, and so on and so forth. There are sometimes tkufas. You know, sometimes when things don't end, but I have like a sense of Baruch Hashem. You know, this is in place. I have a certain spark of menuchas hanefesh, despite the fact that we know there's a lot that has to be taken care of still. Shabbos is the gift where Kadosh Baruch Hu made the teva in a way. It's that it's a zman for menucha, and a person can be zochet that menucha. Okay, good. Shabbos. Why?
That's more than a gevurah, because all the conscience.